B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody. The Fanatic Morning Show here. Farzetta and Trey, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you on this fine, fine morning. Is it supposed to be like 110 again today? What's the deal? What's
125,
happening?
125, I believe.
125. Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's
tomorrow's fine. 110.
All right, no problem.
Yeah.
Here's how bad it was yesterday. It was Media Fantasy Camp Day at the Union.
Yeah, I've gone to that in years past, and it's a lot of fun. I was bummed I couldn't make it yesterday.
It was pretty awesome.
How's my man Jim Curtin doing?
He says hi.
He's the man.
He says you guys are going to go to a Man City game.
Yeah, we're going
to
do a little pub viewing.
Whatever the hell that means. I don't even know what
that means.
We're
going to go watch a soccer game and drink some beers.
Okay.
So you guys are all invited.
Oh, they had beers
yesterday. Okay, nice.
Yeah, NBC Sports Philly asked me to go over there to do a little reporting, right? The hard-hitting journalism that I usually do. And it was wild. It was the first time I played soccer since eighth grade. And I brought my cleats that I used in eighth grade. Trey, do you fit into anything that you could fit into when you were in eighth grade?
No, especially not shoes.
No. I hit my growth spurt early, and then it stopped, so that kind of also stunt the idea of me ever playing in the NBA, so that took care of that. But I know I still had my cleats, and I presented them to Coach Curtin, and he goes, Oh, you're serious. These are your 8th grade cleats. And I go, yeah, these are my 8th grade cleats. And he goes, yeah, if you wore these around my players, you'd get made fun of a lot. Like, first off, these are a really heavy shoe, and you're not going to be able to score any goals with this. And I was like, well, I won't be able to score any goals for a lot of reasons. One being that I like to play goalie because there's less running.
Cleats was the least of your worries in scoring goals, I would say.
But it was a great time, and they said, you know, it's going to be really hot today, so everybody, we're going to cut the practice time down to like 15 minutes instead of a half hour.
Makes sense.
Apparently, somebody didn't pass out from heat exhaustion, but apparently a couple of years ago, somebody blew out their ACL.
Yeah, I was there. I saw it.
Oh, you witnessed it live.
Yeah. Not a pleasant viewing experience.
Here's
one time I was playing real quick in a Sixers media game, and somebody torn Achilles.
Yeah. I believe he worked for NBC 10, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was like a cameraman or something. I was like, oh, man, that sucks. Sorry, buddy.
That's rough. But here's what happens in those games, these like media days, right? Trey, everyone wants to be like you. Everyone wants to be a pro athlete. Everybody wants to be a pro athlete, right? Mm-hmm. So you get these little media games, and you have guys like Kevin Kincaid, for instance.
Yeah, he can play.
Kevin Kincaid like plays a lot.
Yeah, he plays in like a weekly league.
Yeah, he's amazing. The guy can play some soccer, right? Some football. So, but like, even if it's like a charity softball game, like they had the PAL softball game the other night, in events like that, here's what happens. The guys that play every, like Rob Motti. Rob Motti is a five-star softball athlete.
Yeah.
Okay? He goes out there and he hits bombs, right? And then you have the average Joe, such as myself, that can at one time play pretty well. And they try to reach back, or like Trey, our boy Jamie over there, with the lacrosse skills.
Yeah.
They try to reach back into the, you
know, wayback machine.
The big old bag of tricks from about, I don't know, 15 years ago. And you go, I got this, I can do it, right? And I go out there, I try to do some stuff, and it makes me elevate my game a little bit. I try a little harder, right? And then you have the people that are just there for the photos. And then you feel like the middle of the pack guys feel like they got to pick up for those guys more than anything to help out the guys like the Kevin Kincaids of the world or the Jamie Lynches or the Rob Mottis that can still, you know, either sling it, hit it, or kick it. And then you end up being really sore the next day. But nonetheless, it was an awesome time at the Union Media Day yesterday. And I get back just in time to watch the Phillies rally in the seventh inning to put up four runs. They come back to beat the Dodgers.
How was your YouTube experience?
Here's what's weird.
Because a lot of people were complaining about it yesterday.
I didn't mind it.
I don't mind it. The Facebook broadcast.
A lot of people had the buffering and loading interruptions.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
But I saw people tweeting about it. I don't mind the social media or internet streaming of a game.
Well, apparently Comcast has the YouTube app now in the X1 platform. All so right. That helps.
Okay. Whatever it was, I didn't mind. I think that the Facebook broadcast and the YouTube broadcast do a good job with a broadcast. The pain in the ass is the people that can't figure out how to take the comments off the screen.
Yeah.
The people that, you know, have the buffering issues, whatever, have those types of, you know, technical difficulties. But just in terms of the broadcast itself, I think they do a great job. And like Facebook, I like the in-game interviews. I think they do a great job with that. I like the stat presentation. I think they do a great job with that. It's just, it's the new platform. And what I thought of yesterday was when we had Adam Schefter on, and he was talking about the NFL divvying up the rights of the broadcasts. He wasn't talking about networks.
No, Amazon.
Schefter's always incorporating the other aspects here of Amazon, YouTube, Twitter, whatever it might be to live stream football games, because that's going to be a big chip in the collective bargaining agreement, not just with the networks, but also with the social media platforms and the other streaming platforms that are available right now. So it's a big thing. It's not changing. It's not going away. So it's kind of that adapt or leave. That's kind of the moment that we're having right now when it comes to sports broadcast and sports presentations to the viewing public. It's that it's going to be across all these different platforms. So if you don't know how to Chromecast something, mirror something, or just hook up a cable to the TV to either your phone or your laptop or your Surface or whatever, there's going to be some issues in the not too distant future beyond just a YouTube game for baseball. But overall, I thought it was a good presentation. I think Ben Davis was part of the broadcast and all that. But I get back home. I put on the show, or put on the show, put on YouTube, and I'm watching them just to get in time for the seventh inning rally. And the Phillies come back. They end up taking 2-4 from the Dodgers. But as they close out that game,
all right, let's go Phillies.
A little bit of a controversial moment here. I think the sports world in general, if you're a sports person, big sport, all you want to know is whether or not the Phillies are going to be buyers or sellers in about 11 days now, right? That's the main thing that you're going to be focusing on, whether or not the Phillies are going to be buyers or sellers. And if you want them to be buyers, then taking 2-4 from the Dodgers in this series is a big deal. Good for you. The more dramatic aspect of this was how it looked to see Hector Neris taunt the Dodgers at the end of that ball game yesterday. And my gut feeling on it was, dude, shut up. You're on appeal right now. Like, from a baseball aspect, you're on appeal right now. Be on your best behavior. Also on a baseball aspect, like, I don't want to lose you later in the season for those three games. So, again, be on your best behavior. And then, at the same time, you just gave up a home run. It wasn't like you came in and struck out the side. Like, you allowed a run. You made it a one-run game. You came in to get the save. You got the save. You did your job. Fine. But it wasn't like you came in there and absolutely slammed the door in their face. And I know this is going to be a big sticking point. We're making it in our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation today. But Hector Neris, was in a situation where you were like, shut the hell up, or, yeah, go get him. Trey, you see a guy like that come in. He does close the door, but it wasn't like a slam. And it wasn't like he came out there and dominated. The guy gave up a home run. He's on appeal. How'd you take Hector Neris yesterday?
I was good with it. I'm glad he did it. They need more fire with this team. You know what I'm saying? When you have a bunch of guys that sometimes when you look out there on the field and you have a bunch of ghost face players out there, I'm good with a little fire. Maybe that's something that needs to be sparked. You need more guys to play with some type of energy, some type of gumption. You know, you don't need a bunch of guys that's just out there walking, looking like they're walking the green mile. I'm all right with that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you need that. That's where the whole thing, you guys were talking about it earlier. They look subdued sometimes. So, all right, then, go ahead. I'm okay with them going out there and saying, all right, screw y'all. I mean, yeah, you gave up a home run. He could have gave up the game, but he didn't. He got the win.
He did that earlier in the series.
What's that?
He did that earlier in the series.
Yeah.
But I'm with Trey, Mark. I loved it. I did.
You loved it.
That's not usually me, but I think this team needs a little fire under their asses. I really do. And I don't think Gabe Kapler's the one to give it to him. That's fine. That's not his personality. He doesn't read his team like that. I don't mind. Hey, best team in the league. Screw you, F you, whatever you say. You know, we're here. We're here. I might suck against you, which Hector Neris does in 13 career appearances, 12 runs on 20 hits, including 8 home runs. So if there's a guy that probably shouldn't have done it, it's Hector Neris. But I'm happy somebody did. I'm fine with it. I'm okay. If other guys look at it and say, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to deter anything. I think, if anything, it's only going to, like I said, light a fire or two under some asses.
Well, if he does get suspended for the three games, it'll be deterring.
All right, well, the numbers I just gave you, way he's been pitching, no offense, but are the Phillies really going to miss Hector Neris for three games?
Yes, because unfortunately, with the sad state of affairs in their bullpen, he's one of their better guys.
But like you said, hey, I sucked against you, but I didn't suck right now.
That's right. right. And we're here.
And we're here.
It's
and we
Rocky.
Got this win. Now get your ass on the plane and get out of here.
It's
but I
Rocky. He's all beat up and he's like, I ain't going anywhere.
Now he's
Rocky. There it is.
Now Hector Neris is
there
Rocky.
There it is.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm good with it.
I like that, yeah, right now I didn't suck, as in right now. Yeah, I got that last
right
out.
Now.
Right now. But the batter before that.
It doesn't matter.
Verdugo?
Yeah.
Who cares? I struck out the next one and got the win. Let's go. Pop a bottle, baby. Here we go. Woo! Got the win.
Here's what's weird about it. Because I love emotion. I thrive on emotion. I love emotion, right? If it's an isolated incident where somebody just says, hey, I was watching a ball game yesterday and the closer came in and got the save and struck out the last batter and celebrated and taunted the other team, I'm like, hey, good for them. And then you tell me the details. 3-game suspension pending right now. You were in a situation where you blew a save earlier in the series. You're facing the best team in baseball, and you get into a taunting match with the opposing team, and you're Hector Neris. Back it off.
No,
and you just allowed a home run.
I'm good with it.
I think it's stupid. I just flat out think it's dumb.
No.
Because I know it's not supposed to factor into it with the decision Major League Baseball is going to make as to whether or not to suspend him.
Yeah.
But you got to think it does a little bit. Like, show some remorse in this series.
Yeah, maybe. And I'll tell you, 7 out of 10 times, Mark, I'm probably you. I probably read more
this
into it.
This is a bad face for you and I.
It really is. And yeah. I'm like, dude, seriously? That, I don't know why, and you can't help how you feel. But when I saw it, I was okay with it. I was okay. All right, let's go. You are dying to get something to get this team going, and we hang it on, oh, Harper's hit. That's going to do it. There it is. This is going to do it. Oh, Gabe got thrown out. This is going to be the turning point. We're looking and looking and looking, and nothing has been successful so far. Am I saying that him going off on the Dodgers is going to turn the team around? Probably not, but I don't mind it. I don't mind the little spark.
All right, well, so ninth inning, Neris comes in to close out the game. He gets Pollock to ground out. Then he strikes out Freeze, who's the guy that he like basically like almost killed the other day. And then you have Verdugo come up. He hits the home run. Then Turner flies out to right field. That's the end of the game. Neris looks at the dugout, yells, bleep you, is what it looked like.
Hell yeah. Say it with your chest, Hector.
Say it with your chest. Say it with your chest. Woo!
Are James Ennis and Hector Neris like hanging out?
Hell yeah.
Are they just like chilling? Like, hey, what can we say?
In the cocky lounge.
How can we?
Yeah.
Like a lounge cocky.
Yeah.
Cock of the walk, baby. They're just hanging out, talking trash. He yells, bleep you at the Dodgers dugout. Russell Martin then offers to fight Neris. Like, hey, you want, it reminded me of Ben Simmons for
Kyle Lowry.
Exactly. Like, take it to the hallway, right?
I'll see you in the hallway. Yeah.
Take it to the hallway. Why you got to go to the hallway? You got all this and opportunity right here.
No, you don't. You know why?
Why?
In baseball, no one ever fights.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's why he called his bluff. I'm right here on the mound.
Mm.
If it's really about all that, he got nothing but air and opportunity.
Yeah, but that's like standing behind the bouncer at a bar being like, don't, you're lucky this guy's right here.
Exactly. Exactly.
I thought you wanted to see more fire.
No.
Go fight.
The guy told him to meet him in the hallway.
Then go meet in the hallway and fight him.
Fight in front of the 20,000.
You're not going to fight.
Exactly. You weren't going to fight in the hallway either.
I'll fight him in a hallway.
Right. Drop your glove right there on the mat.
You should have seen me.
Come on.
You should have seen me at Union Media Day yesterday fighting everybody.
Because it was, who was it? It was a Dodgers player that told him to meet him in the hallway, correct?
Yeah,
Russell Martin.
You got all this air and opportunity.
No. There's no opportunity.
Oh, it's plenty of air
because
and
baseball
opportunity.
Players
if you
fight.
Really about that life, then come on out here then.
This is my ring. Come
exactly.
on out.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep,
right? Why is that to be all this? Let's go behind closed doors.
Yep.
It's right here. Air and opportunity if you really about that life.
And maybe it's possible Hector was sticking up for Reese. I mean, he did get kind of stepped on the heel and the ankle twice yesterday on first. One, I think, was completely accidental.
Yeah.
The other one, not so much.
And
not
Machado so much. Did it last year for the same Dodgers team.
So maybe Hector saw that and went, yeah, I already hated these guys.
Mm.
Now they're trying to hurt my first baseman. Bleep you.
Bleep you.
But here's so Russell Martin, though, might have done Hector Neris a big favor in all of this. And it's not for a good reason. Because, and Jamie, you were talking about this earlier, they got Russell Martin, obviously, on the bench while in the dugout while he was taunting back at Hector Neris. And it looks as if he used a slur.
Yeah.
while taunting Hector Neris. That wasn't direct. The slur, he wasn't calling Hector. Well, yeah, he was. But but it wasn't like it wasn't a racial slur. Let's just put it that way. And they slowed down the tape and kind of read his lips. And it does not look good for Russell Martin. I don't know if anything's going to happen to him. I don't know if they can suspend someone for allegedly saying something. But it doesn't necessarily look good for Russell Martin either. But just from a Phillies perspective, Hector Neris, and for me, I'm in the shut up category. And it's more for baseball reasons, for wins and losses than anything. You're on the verge of a 3-game suspension. It's going under appeal. Please be under your best behavior. And then secondly, the other part of it is, dude, it wasn't like you came in and slammed the door on the Dodgers. They've beaten you up pretty good in this series.
He closed it.
What was Ricky Bosa? I need Ricky.
Oh, we'll have him at 9 o'clock
today.
I want to
hear what Ricky felt about
Ricky's
this.
Ricky's perfect for this.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear what Ricky has to say about this.
Guest-wise today?
Yeah.
Yesterday, Jason Stark, Zach Berman, phenomenal to speak to those guys. We're going to speak to a Hollywood movie star today.
Okay.
8 o'clock. Corbin Burnson, ladies and gentlemen.
You were going to say, like, Steven Seagal or something.
I was
thinking
something totally
different. Or David Hasselhoff.
No, David Hasselhoff is really busy, apparently.
Or something. I don't know.
David Hasselhoff now doing appearances for sports radio places.
But, can't wait for the Hoff. Roger Dorn.
You guys definitely had a meeting, like, Friday when I wasn't here. Like, hey, when Mark comes back, we're telling him Hasselhoff is coming to FanFest. I still don't buy it. Roger Dorn himself, Corbin Burnson is going to join us from one of my favorite movies. Not even just sports movies. Trey,
great movie.
One of my favorite movies ever, Major League, is going to join us. This year is the 30th anniversary of the movie Major League, so Corbin Burnson is going to join us. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Ricky Batalico. We'll see what he had to say about Hector Neris. I am shocked that I'm going to be so far in the minority today when it comes to the Phillies.
Well, you might not be. Maybe Ricky's on your side.
I would doubt it.
What, did Jamie speak up on this shit?
Jamie loves it.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm going to get because Jamie's, Jamie's like all hopped up on Mountain Dew when it comes to this one here. So Jamie's going to break it down for us when we come back. And then we're going to talk about what really matters when it comes to baseball, folks. And that's whether or not you feel after this series the Phillies will be buyers or sellers come the trade deadline. We got some names we'll rattle off here. One from Jim Salisbury that's back in the market here for a lefty to get into the starting rotation of the Phillies. But as I mentioned earlier, our Twitter poll today brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for Window Shop, windownation.com. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and take advantage of their 50% off sale on any style window. Sam Wilson, what do you have for us?
This morning we asked, do you like Hector Neris taunting the Dodgers? We have just under 200 votes so far, and it's very close. 52% say yes, they do like it.
Yes, they do like it.
It's that Philly passion.
Yes!
I thought I was going to be in the minority.
Look at you. Look at you. And I know you're going to sway even more votes coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Against the party.
Why are you acting like this? Here we go to this story right here, man.
Nah, I got nothing on this one. What do you got?
No. This is a shout out to Jerry Foxhope Hovind, I guess is his name.
Oh, the Iowa guy?
No. Oh. He's the Iowa guy. Yeah. Works in the government for human services director. Name is Jerry.
What is
Jerry?
It? Yeah, go
would
ahead.
Have Tupac Fridays. Heck, custom cookies brought in that had Thug Life written across them and icing.
You know it.
And so I guess he wanted to send out an email to all the employees. 4,300 emails were sent out across all the employees with some Tupac lyrics. They fired him the next day. Shout out to Jerry. Tupac Fridays.
And he was, he appears to be what?
About 70s? 80?
Yeah.
I mean,
just 80-year-old white dude, okay. Just chilling, you know. Wears glasses, hair is nice and, you know, Yeah, it's not what you would think.
Silver-haired gent.
Yeah, silver-haired gent.
Did I say silver?
Pocket it's, squares.
It's white. It's a white hair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just sitting there, just trying to help everybody out, man. Nah. Send out some Tupac lyrics, yeah. You know? Tupac was a poet.
Yeah.
My wife taught a Tupac poetry class to her kids at Overbrook.
That is awesome.
She has a whole book of Tupac poetry.
Yeah.
It's deep, man. He was a deep soul.
Yeah, he was.
Is a deep soul.
Yeah, he's chilling with Biggie in Area 51.
He's in Area 51. Where are the aliens at?
I don't need
to see aliens. I need to see Tupac.
That is why people want to storm Area 51. It's just to meet up
Biggie
with
Tupac.
Can you imagine the concerts at Area 51 right now?
Those aliens are lit.
Yeah.
You ain't fooling me, none. Pantherisa Black Cat Fasteners brings us the 6 o'clock hour here. Attention contractors, get job site delivery on all your tools, equipment and supplies, and fall protection gear. Shop online at PantherEast.com. Did all that go away yet, the Area 51 stuff?
No, not at all. No, I believe the Air Force was briefed on it yesterday.
They just got briefed on it?
They had a... I don't know how valid it is, but Barstool ran something, and it looked like a live meeting, basically, of the Air Force, like a couple hundred dudes in a meeting getting briefed on this Area 51 fiasco.
Is it like...
Which I fully support. I want them to go ahead and storm the gates.
I really want to watch from afar.
Does the Air Force have Instagram? Do they have Twitter? No,
probably.
I know they have Twitter because I flew with the Thunderbirds, the Air Force Thunderbirds, and it was on Twitter and whatnot. But I'll tell you this much: it's a bad idea. Don't go storming Area 51.
No, support it. I support it. Do it.
Please don't do this.
Just make sure you Facebook Live or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, so we can see the destruction.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that I was thinking the face aging app, whatever that is, the old app.
Yeah.
That's good storming social media. Right? Is that done yet? Are we done with this? Are we done with the people going, this is what I'm going to look like when I'm old? Like, if you're lucky.
It should be over. Yeah. The Russians own that
app. I was just going to say, because according to social media, here's where social media like eats itself. Social media is like, hey, do this little app. And then social media is like, well, now the Russians have stolen your identity and they're going to take over your soul. So I don't know what to believe. That's what the people are telling me now, that the Russians are running it. This is the world we live in, Bob.
All I know is my daughter did it for me, and I look damn good when I'm older. I'm happy with myself, Trey. I'm already older, according to you, anyway, so it didn't look much different.
I never call you old.
Okay.
Buddy.
Yeah.
I mean,
come on, Bob. You ain't old, man. God bless you.
No, you good.
Now, Jamie Lynch over there, the bro himself, we're going to get into a couple of things with this young man, because, one... He is all for Hector Neris. And the other is that he made a bold proclamation yesterday while doing the midday show with Andrew Salchunas. While he wasn't sweating profusely.
Oh, baby.
I had horrible mental pictures that you were just blasting out over the airwaves yesterday. You know what? You were a poet yesterday. You were actually an artist painting pictures for people listening. And none of them were pleasant, by the way. But first off, let's address the subject.
I went to the bartender. I was like, can I get one of your bar rags? I'm going to put some water on that and just keep it on my head. Thank you.
You reminded me of my dad when he golfs. Like, he has got the cold towel around his neck. He's like, and then my dad will go like, hey, feel this. Feel cold of this. And I'm like, get off me. Let's just stop. You're like wiping your sweat off with that. And you're like touching my arm with it. Like, I don't care how cold it is.
Nasty.
So anyway, that was you yesterday. No, but Hector Neris yesterday during the game, he closes it out. Everybody's is sticking their chest out and all that stuff. And you come in all hopped up on Mountain Dew and excited that Hector Neris is, you know, taunting the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Why does this make you so giddy?
Somebody on this team needs to show some life. You're in a dogfight right now. As much as we might not like it, you are in a playoff fight, a fist fight with several other teams. And you just played the best team in baseball, and you got to split at home. And outside of Bryce Harper, I don't know anybody on this team that shows life. And to me, that showed a passion, it showed a desire, it showed some fight in this team. And who knows, it might be an effect that goes to the rest of the guys. Like, let's get fired up here. Let's go. We're in a playoff hunt.
I believe it comes down to status for me.
He's 18-22 this year. He's not terrible.
Yes, but also
it's not been a great week for him.
Aside from that, like, look, aside from just the dude, like, you could get suspended here, and I'd like you to be able to play for this team because as it looks coming down the stretch with those 11 road games, to end the season, basically, I think they have 3 at home within the 11, but within the 11 road games, I think 11 of the last 14 or something are on the road. Like, it's going to come down to the wire and whether or not they're going to be a playoff team. So I would like to have Hector Neris be playing for this team as many times as possible. But also, in this series, has he been great?
No.
Did he slam the door?
I don't care.
He just allowed the home run. No, I'm all for emotion, and I love that, usually. But in this situation, similar to James Ennis, I'm like, dude, like, slow your roll, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I love passion. I love emotion. I love all that. But take a breath.
This team needs some fight.
If he's
the one that gives it to him, sure. I'm okay with it.
I would much rather see Bryce Harper doing more of the stuff that he did yesterday with the with the Philly Fanatic headband and all.
That thing is sweet.
Yeah, I want one.
Yeah.
I would rather see him be the guy to be the champion of fire and the champion of emotion and enthusiasm than Hector Neris, a guy that's on the verge of suspension.
Well, where was he during that 16-2 thumping? Nobody had anything.
No, nobody did.
So, I mean, you know, you got to take whatever you can get right now from whatever player that's out there.
Yeah. I hate to do this, Mark, but I was exactly the opposite of what you were thinking. I think that somebody besides Bryce Harper had to step up a little bit. Like, he can't do everything. And I hear you. I know all eyes are on him, including the team. You're the $330 million man, no question about it. He's about to put the cape on, it looks like, and maybe carry this team for a while. If somebody can take a little bit from his play, dude, do what you have to do for us offensively. I'll take care of the emotional part of this team. Let somebody else step up and do it. You're right. This isn't me usually, but I liked it yesterday.
I really did. I can't believe this. We are totally on the opposite sides that we usually are when it comes to something like this. Now Trey, you
not the first. You don't like Jimmy Rollins in the booth. Okay, we like Jimmy Rollins in the booth.
Now you stop. Right. Don't you start that argument.
We got nothing on the
table. Where's Jimmy been?
I don't know.
I'm gonna have to put out like the
bat petition to not bring him back
for Jimmy Rollins.
I love Jimmy Rollins, and I think that the rumor is that he's at broadcasting school. But anyway, I made that up. But when you watch a team like this, Jimmy, it's very simple. When the other guy's talking, don't talk. Okay, I got it. So you're looking at this team, and you're looking at the fire from Hector Neris. Can a guy like him, are you looking at him like, dude, we need you, shut up. Like, you know Major League Baseball's watching. Why are you taunting the other team right now? Do you look at it like that, or are you looking at it as, to hell with everything else, fire and enthusiasm? We need that passion.
We need the passion.
Ugh.
Fire and enthusiasm. I mean, if they're going this game has nothing to do with it, they're going to suspend him for that last game.
For throwing at somebody?
Yeah.
Allegedly?
Allegedly. I think he lost control of the ball.
Well, let me just put it this way. Here's what I do want to see now.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything, I would love to see the Phillies and the Dodgers meet up again in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because that is going to be must-see TV. That's the type of thing that will go outside the world of baseball.
And Neris got in their heads. He offended everybody. Even the coach was offended.
Oh, yeah. Do we have Dave Roberts after
job
the game?
Job well done.
Yep.
Dave Roberts is a hell of a manager, and I said earlier that he absolutely pantsed Gabe Kapler in this series.
But and he also caught JT Realmuto's bat in the rain. Brought it back to him. That was very nice.
Great. He's a gentleman.
Yeah.
He's a gentleman. And he comes out after the game last night and talked about Hector Neris' taunting of his own team.
We played this game, this series, the right way, played it straight. And so to look in our dugout and to taunt in any way, I think it's unacceptable. To look in our dugout, you know, I think that exceeds the emotion. Look in your own dugout. So I think our guys took it personal, which I took it personal.
Okay, good.
He's also saying that they didn't, the Phillies didn't play straight up. He's also saying that the Phillies basically played dirty.
Okay.
And he's specifically saying that Hector Neris played dirty.
Okay.
Throwing at his guy.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
I honestly don't really care what the other coach thinks. Like, yeah. I don't care what the other manager thinks, but that was his take. That's how the other team took Hector Neris's behavior yesterday.
I don't mind. That's fine.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's roll with it. Yeah. I don't expect him to go, well, hey, he's an aggressive, emotional player, and that's what he's going to do. No, I get it. I understand what he's saying there, and he's going to go to bat for his own players. I get it. But on top of this, here's the bottom line from the series. Aside from the drama that Hector Neris provided yesterday, the more important thing overall is the fact that the Phillies just took 2 of 4 from the Dodgers. Obviously, they got swept while they were out in L.A., but they split this series with the Dodgers. Could have very well, if you're on the optimistic side of things, they could have very well taken 3 of 4. Because the only game that they really got their butts handed to them was the 16-2 loss to open up this series. Mm-hmm. They should have won that game, especially considering the Dodgers got in the town at 4:30 in the morning. They had a long game, and then the Dodgers ended up taking it to them. Phillies could have very well taken 3 of 4. They could have also lost 3 of 4 in this series. Mm-hmm. But right now, if you look at this team, where do they stand as far as being buyers or sellers? And as I mentioned before the break, this is the big thing that comes out of this series. The Phillies now are being linked to several different pitchers around Major League Baseball. And a couple of lefties to go with them. Madison Bumgarner, probably most notable, 29 years old, 3.65 ERA this year for the Giants. Just threw 9 innings last night in a game against the Mets that I believe won 16 innings.
Yeah.
And the Giants ended up getting a win. But Bumgarner comes out, goes 9 innings, allows just 1 run. In those 9 innings, you know how many pitches he threw?
Yes, I do. 90, right off the top of my head.
94.
Yeah.
Sub 100 pitches for a 9-inning game for him, so he was working quick. Matthew Boyd is another pitcher that they're looking at. A righty with the Tigers right now with an ERA north of 4 at 4.13. He's 28 years old. Jim Salisbury put out the story, I believe it was just last night, that the Phillies have had conversations with lefty 30-year-old Drew Smyly. 9 starts this season with an 8.42 ERA.
And he missed all of 18 and 17 with Tommy John surgery.
Not exactly top of my list.
No. It shows you how bad the Phillies rotation is.
And then Mike Minor. Well, apparently the Phillies rotation is good enough to not get Dallas Keuchel, to harp on that a little bit longer. But here you go. Mike Minor is another name that the Phillies are connected to. He's 31 years old, left-handed pitcher, 273 ERA right now for the Rangers. 19 starts coming off a season right now where he just made his first All-Star appearance.
So he would be your team leader in ERA coming in right off the bat.
By far.
Mm-hmm. And he does have 1 year of control left, I believe, at 9.5 next year. So that's why I think, I know you're getting into this, I think you have to address next year now. Because the free agent class next year isn't great. I don't know where help comes from, and I don't really want to bank everything on free agency. So I do make a move now to be a buyer and get a guy with more than this year of control.
All right, now, in order to be a buyer, and look, I'm rooting for the Phillies. I hope I'm wrong about them. I hope they are a good baseball team, and I hope they make the playoffs, and I hope they go on and win the World Series.
It's
right?
Probably going to cost you like ammoniac or something like that.
To go get Mike Minor?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, the Phillies going to be, look, they're depleted right now when it comes to their farm system.
You got to make the right call on Hazley and Moniak and give up the one you believe in less.
Hazley, power hitter.
Yeah.
So you have a situation where you have a guy like Mike Minor available. You have a guy like Madison Bumgarner available. And I know everyone hates the Phillies minor league system. And as I mentioned, I mean, you talk about depleted. I mean, they do have a couple of guys down there that show some promise. Moniak is one of them now, in case you haven't been paying attention. He's one of them now. Alec Bohm, most notably Alec Bohm. Adonis Medina, they obviously gave up Sixto Sanchez and the JT Realmuto trade. So you look at these guys that are available down in the minors. Do you want to part with them, or do you take away from your starting 9? Or excuse me, your starting 8? Do you take away a guy like Cesar Hernandez and use him in the deal? Do you take away a guy like Michael Franco, who's battling the groin injury right now, depending on what he can get you? What's available right now for the Phillies to part ways with in order for them to try to get a guy like Mike Minor or a guy like Madison Bumgarner? If you're trying to make a deal for a guy that you want to sign for more than a couple of years, like Mike Minor or Bumgarner, then you're going to have to break the eggs. You're going to have to part with a guy like Mickey Moniak. You're going to have to part with a guy like, I don't know if Alec Bohm is the guy they're going to be willing to part with.
I
hope not. But look, if you're all in, if you're pushing the chips to the middle of the table right now, are you willing to part ways with the few prospects you have to help you out down the line in the future? Because here's the deal. Here's the thing we can't forget about. Rhys Hoskins is going to be due some money. Aaron Nola just got re-upped, so he should be taken care of for a while. You should be good there.
And a good salary.
You have a lot of money invested in this bullpen. You have a lot of money invested in Andrew McCutchen. And obviously some guy named Bryce Harper. So you're going to need some guys for an ownership that does want to I don't know, watch a couple of dollars here and there, you're going to have to make sure that you have the young guys coming up that you don't have to really pay that much. And Bohm's one of them. Moniak's going to be one of them. Medina's going to be one of them. You have guys down there that you know you're going to have control of. And by the way, get one hell of a deal on for quite some time.
Can you go in without going all in?
No.
Well, because, and this is just me, when you say go all in, to me, it's like push in, get, take chances, maybe get rid of some things in order to try to win the World Series this year.
Right.
Going in, I don't think they can win a World Series this year.
Mm.
Going in means to me, yeah, try to add a little something and see if you can stay in that wild card race.
If you trade Moniak, Bohm, Medina.
Well, then you're all in.
Yes,
and
that's
what I'm
saying.
That would be unbelievably, ridiculously stupid.
Okay,
I
so
know another way than to be all in.
Are you in or are you out?
Yeah, I can't be partial.
You can't be just a little bit in.
No.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
On the waterbed?
Yes, sir.
Mermaid watching and everything?
A mermaid's watching.
There you
everything.
Go. I think we've solved the issue.
All way in.
So do we agree, though? If you look at it with Moniak, you look at Bohm, you look at Medina, if they trade any of those prospects, they're without a question all in now, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
So I don't know if you're going to be able to get a Mike Minor or a Madison Bumgarner without being able to part ways with one of your top three prospects. I think that kind of goes without saying, right? Am I nuts to say that?
No. No, yeah. See, this is the tricky place that they're in right now.
Sean P. checks in on Twitter and says, if you're talking about Mike Minor, give up anybody but Bohm.
I think most people are like that. Because I think most people haven't really kept up with Mickey Moniak, that he's actually done pretty damn good over the last four or five months of his minor league career. He was made an all-star team for himself, so that's good. I think most people have heard that name, Alec Bohm, a million times by now. Medina, I don't think that many people are familiar with. Yeah, the only guy that they really care about is Bohm right now, because he's your future third baseman.
Yeah. I don't want to part with him, but I want Mike Minor.
If you tell me Madison Bumgarner could be here for four or five more years, and you're incorporating...
Yeah. He went complete game last night.
No, the game went 16 innings, but he pitched 9 innings.
Okay, yeah.
He pitched 9 innings, 94 pitches. But, yeah, if you're telling me you can get Madison Bumgarner, who's 29 years old, a lefty, you know he can pitch in this league for at least 5-6 more years, then, yeah, if you can make him here in Philadelphia, yeah, then I'm willing to part ways with one of your big prospects that's not named Alec Bohm. So I'm willing to part with a guy like Mickey Moniak. I'm willing to part with a guy like Medina, for instance. But you got to make sure that you're solidifying this rotation for more than just a couple of years. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Because despite anything going on right now with Bryce Harper and the lineup, you need to make sure that you can take care of that rotation for quite some time as well. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, Trey, your Florida people, they're at it yet again. Time at the Fanatic is 6:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Blue Park Fridays, baby, yeah!
Is this all because of the Iowa guy?
Yeah, man, Jared, man. Jared's the man.
Yeah.
I'm a straight rider, you don't want me.
Alright. So this, state of Florida that you come from.
It's a beautiful state, man. G-strings in the wintertime, baby.
It was.
Is that their state motto?
Yes, yeah,
I thought it was. Yeah.
It's kind of written on something down there.
The license plates, I believe.
Yeah. Or Jersey's the Garden State.
Yeah.
And Florida G-strings in the wintertime.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Come one and come all.
Come one, come all.
So I'm just scrolling on social media, whatever, yesterday, and I see this almost too appropriate Florida headline, but I admit, it's not that funny, but it just was, like, I didn't even know it was Florida But I was like, this has to be Florida. And I click on the story, and sure enough, it was Florida. Mm-hmm. And it was five guys got arrested for fighting in public.
I saw that.
It was two men and three boys. So I guess they were underage.
Yeah.
And five men were arrested. You know where they were arrested?
Where?
They were arrested at a burger joint called Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
So there you go.
Five guys arrested at Five Guys. That's basically what happened. I was like, oh, this has to be Florida. Yep, it's Florida. There we go.
Yeah, I saw a joke online because there was a Cold Stone Creamery right next to the Five Guys. It was like, the next best thing would have been Stone Cold Steve Austin getting arrested at Cold Stone Creamery.
I was like, oh, the little gifts in life, the little gifts. Now, here's what I want to get into, because we're going to talk about the Phillies at the deadline and all that stuff, whether or not you want to be buyers or sellers. A little bit later in the show, we're going to get to some high praise given to the Philadelphia Eagles by ESPN. Some very high praise, as a matter of fact. But I guess only in Philadelphia can there be this kind of praise and it still feel like a little bit of a slight. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But they have this beautiful, beautiful golf course that we're watching professional golfers just hack up right now. Like, it's, I actually enjoy stuff like this during the Great British Open.
Let you know they're human.
Exactly. Yeah. They're just looking like us, basically. But I think it's, if anybody really enjoys golf, right? Like, there are people out there that play every day, right? That just sounds great. I think everyone's bucket list thing is to be able to play overseas.
Yeah.
Like, I had a bucket list thing where I always wanted to play in Arizona. Just always looks so cool.
Yeah.
And after the Seahawks lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, where they didn't run it up the middle with Marshawn Lynch, right? I played that the following day at a place called Papago, right? And I went out there, and it was amazing. It was beautiful. The greens were so, it was like putting on glass, as they say, right?
Yeah.
It was awesome. Bucket list thing, got to play out there, right? I would love to go over and play. Over in Scotland, in Ireland. I'd love to go walk over the bridge of St. Andrews, right? That would probably be my bucket list sports thing. Like, when you think about bucket list things, this is what it always reminds me of. Whenever I watch this, for any, like, even just average golfer, you want to go over there and just check it out, man. You want to marvel at the views over there, right? If you had to go back, and then, Trey, you had the bucket list item of all time, actually playing in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to look at things right now in the sports world, what's your all-time now sports bucket list thing?
I'd like to play Augusta.
You like to play Augusta?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to have to leave the country.
We're going to have to leave the country.
I know people that just want to go to Augusta.
Yeah, I want
to
play.
You want to play Augusta. That's your bucket list thing. Bob, where are you at?
If I go along with Trey, like something to do, if I could play, I want to play Pine Valley. Haven't played it yet. Stone throw from my house.
Okay.
It is about 10 minute drive from my house.
So Pine Valley, I mean, you know.
I want to play
Pine
Valley.
Get us out there. I mean, you know.
I've been there a few times.
I've driven by it a couple times, several times.
Yeah, I've walked the course three or four times, and oh my God.
I've never walked the course, but I would like to get out there.
And flown over it.
Pine Valley, I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah, so Pine Valley.
Get us out there, Pine Valley.
Yeah, so I'd love to play as
come
far
on,
as
Pine
playing.
Valley.
Yeah.
My bucket list as a fan would be kind of along your lines, Mark, to watch a British Open at St. Andrews.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, because on the notes of your bucket list thing there with Pine Valley and whatnot, Pine Valley and Aronimink, I got offered an invitation.
To play?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
So here's the deal.
I've played Aronimink about 5 to 7 times.
Okay.
I got an offer potentially to play Marion later this summer, and I'm it moved.
It was one of those things where I had just met someone.
Yeah.
Like, I just met this person.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, give me a call. We'll play Aronimink. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then, like, at the end of the day, he was like, hey, don't forget, here's my number. Let's play Aronimink.
And did you call?
No. Because I feel like I'm...
What are you doing? You make that call when somebody gives that offer.
It's like almost the same type of thing with Pine Valley. I don't know the person well enough to take advantage of a situation like that.
Mm, hey, they don't have to offer.
No, that's where you break the rules.
Yeah, they don't have to offer.
Totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
A total stranger comes up to me and says, Pine Valley,
But they could be like, hey, look at my my celebrity friend, Mark Farzetta. He does a morning show. He's on NBC Sports Philly, you know?
Well, then
they might want you there.
That's all the more reason I don't want to hang out with them, because they have a horrible view of what it means to be a celebrity then.
You got to milk it, baby. Milk it.
And I always say this, whenever we have to go do an event or something like that, like yesterday, the media, well, it was a media game. It wasn't a celebrity game.
Yeah, yeah.
But whenever the term, like, celebrity gets used on people like us, I'm like, I really feel bad for the word celebrity. Because the word celebrity is like, that's not what I'm here for. Not for these people. Not an adjective for these people.
We're very much the opposite of that.
But no, they're like,
whoa.
What? Oh, you are.
You're in a different category.
Yeah. Try embrace.
My daughter has your jersey.
That's right.
Which I can't wait to get her in.
There's no Thomas kid running around with a Lynch jersey.
Exactly.
You know, just for further clarity on this one.
Yeah.
Clarification. But it's one of those things where somebody offers something that's really nice, and you say thank you. Oh yeah. Talk, and like I don't want it. Like remember the scene in The Office when Dwight gets everybody bagels? It's kind of like that. He's trying to like he's trying to have one up over somebody. Imagine the one up that person would have on me.
Who cares?
Yeah, no.
I would make that call in a heartbeat.
Pine Valley. Come on, man. We all keep our clothes in the car.
I got a buddy. That plays it regularly, and every time I'm jealous.
Jeez.
One of my son's best friends is a caddy there.
Really?
Dude, caddy's got the life now, man.
He caddies there. He'll do one bag and he'll be set for the day.
Yeah, did you ever caddy?
Yeah, I caddied in high school at White Marsh Valley.
Yeah,
I wasn't privileged. There was no golf courses around where we lived.
I just started golfing.
So okay.
Yeah, no.
I caddied, and I remember it was like, if you carried the bag, it was like $20.
It was $20, and I had no idea what I was doing, so it's not like I was giving advice or anything.
Yeah, that's what I was nervous about.
I was just a bag
about.
Mule.
Yeah, I hated it, for the record. But no, then I had a caddy maybe 2 years ago. I was playing at a buddy of mine's club, and they were like, hey, let's get a caddy. And I was like, okay. And then it was like $75.
Oh, yeah, I played, my buddy down in Columbia, D.C. had us as a guest, and you have to take
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.